Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You guys are great podcast, man.
Rams Nation. All right, welcome back. It's your boy Bear Motter from Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. It's the Tuesday edition of Locked On Rams. We are doing a recap of game day, which was over the weekend, so you know I had to bring my boy in, James Kroger. James, welcome. How are you doing today, bud?
Hey, Bear, I'm doing a lot better than last week. We got a W, even though it is preseason. I'm happy with what I saw this weekend, and yeah, happy to be back, dude. How about yourself?
Awesome. Feeling good. You're right. It always feels better on a win, even if it is preseason, even if the Raiders did have about a 2-1 ratio at the Coliseum. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some of the guys that stood out for us, some of the guys that need to step it up a little bit. We're going to hit some injury updates, some roster updates, some new signings, extensions, things like that. What's going to be coming up on the show over the week. Guys, make sure to go hit subscribe. We're on Spotify, iTunes, leave a review. Tell us what you think. Reach out to us at Locked On Rams on Twitter and Instagram, at Rams Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at JKroger3, and at LA underscore Rambling Bear. You can find us. That's like 19 handles for two people. But you know what? We're there, man. We're there. We're participating. We're letting it be known. Lots of stuff to talk about. So, guys, go give us a follow. Don't forget to check out the network. It's your team every day. We've got podcasts for everything you could imagine think of. We've got the NFL Locked On podcast. That's by Matt Williamson. He's awesome. He's got some great weekly guests on, so go check that out. We're also breaking into the NCAA world, so keep an eye out for your local favorite college team as we're going to start cranking those up. More and more MLB teams. We got the Dodgers one just around the corner. We're going to be adding a new host for there. So take a peek around the network. We've got some awesome things going on, and we always have great things to bring to you guys. So appreciate you guys listening as always. And James, we kind of teased that at the very beginning of the show, but we'll just kind of kick into Rams Raiders. Game was on Saturday. I mentioned it, you know, to start. You heard some people calling it a blackout at the Coliseum. I saw a lot of pictures coming in from the tailgate early. But you know what? It's about that scoreboard at the end of the day. We're seeing this team very soon. They talked about that over the broadcast, how this is pretty weird that you play a team in the preseason, then play them week one. I can't remember the two teams. I should have looked this up before the podcast, but there's a team that plays each other week four of the preseason and play each other week one of the regular season.
Oh,
so they have a little bit more weirder than we do. But it was you heard this saying tons of times leading up to the game and after the game, very vanilla play calling. Both coaches didn't want to give up too much. A lot of boring runs and not very schematic offensive play calling or defensive play calling. So just go out there, play some old school football, get some points. Overall take on the game, James?
Well, dude, yeah, it was actually a pretty entertaining game for preseason week two, and also facing a team, like you mentioned, that we're going to be seeing in week one this year. So we knew that neither Gruden or McVay were going to bust out anything special. It was just going to be a basic game offensively as far as the play calling is concerned. You know what I'm most bummed about, dude? My McGruden Bowl tweet didn't really take off. I thought that was hilarious.
I
got like two likes, and I thought the McGruden Bowl, because the reason I came up with it is because Andrew Siciliano, I believe, he kind of had a little flub earlier in the pre-show and said it on accident. And so I thought it was hilarious, and I thought the McGruden Bowl would really catch on social media. But, yeah, that was a major bomb.
Yeah, you know what? They're not all winners, you know? It hurts when you think you got a winner. It goes nowhere.
I mean, now that he's a head coach again, and they had such a history, you'd think that it would be a yearly thing. We're probably not going to play him next year, though. But yeah, dude, you know, to answer your question as far as the game, I was super excited. One, we saw, you know, we talked last week about all of our complaints about Mannion. Well, he improved. Still really nothing to brag about, but you know, we saw him stepping up into the pocket. We saw him have a huge pass to Hodge for 47 yards. We'll get into that in just a little bit. So I was really excited to see Mannion's adjustments, as far as patience and confidence and just really kind of stepping it up a bit in that quarterback position. He played the full first half. I think he came out third quarter, but yeah, I was excited about that. Super pumped about John Kelly. I wish he would have had a couple more breakout runs, but really excited to see that he's just so mobile, dude, and so fast. He can just change direction so quickly, and he hits the holes hard, and he's really a real dynamic player. I think we're really going to be able to utilize him in the offense this year. And then the other thing too is this defense, dude. A number of things, and we'll probably dissect these a little bit more, but essentially just the intensity, the energy, the speed, the awareness everybody had. We saw Hager and Ramique Wilson both have pickups for turnovers. They were Ramique Wilson, remember, we got from Kansas City in the offseason. So it was I watched the whole game, surprisingly, and I was thinking about checking out after a while, but it was somewhat of a good game, and I was really happy to see the adjustments. And as far as the crowd was concerned and the blackout, well, maybe we can continue that conversation, because I didn't really think anything – I didn't see anything too positive about all the Oakland fans being there. So, of course, everything I saw was over social media. But as a whole, pretty impressed with what we're able to do, and can't wait till the real McGruden Bowl.
Hey, save that tweet. Should have saved that tweet.
I think it was bad timing.
Well, that's the good thing. No one liked it, so maybe no one saw it. You can give it another go around. Maybe spice it up with some fun hashtags for Monday Night Football. You never know. New audience on Monday night.
I didn't do much live tweeting during the game because it is preseason, and I think you had it covered on Locked On Rams. But that was my only tweet. Basically, it was a McGruden boy.
You just packed it up early and said, "You know what, Twitter? Screw you. I'm not coming out today." Tried to start out hot. You said no. I'm staying inside. Well, I want to kind of continue on to what you were saying. I think the first thing that came across in that game was energy. I mean, you said it right at the gate. They just were playing almost pissed off, and I'm sure they should have been. The way that they performed in week one, they came out with tons of energy. They were flying around on defense, made a bunch of stops. Obviously, going into halftime, we hadn't given up any points. It was 13-0 going into the half. Sean Mannion, who you mentioned, 10 of 16, 84 yards, 47 of those on the deep ball to Hodge, who had 5 targets, had 2 catches for 57 yards. Malcolm Brown started at running back, 7 carries, 22 yards. Again, you highlighted John Kelly got most of the work, 18 carries, 56 yards, and a touchdown. Touchdown was a little interesting. We thought he originally just got in clean. He didn't. He fumbled, then recovered. So when he was interviewed after the game, he kind of had a laugh about that's his first touchdown. He's stoked about it, but he knows he's going to hear it from the boys. You saw on the sidelines, even they were giving him a little hard time about dropping the ball as he scored. But hey, you got in the end zone, got to do the little shake of the dice. And as you said, this was a fun game. It was a preseason game too. You're not thinking you're going to, as a normal fan, just sit through it and watch the whole game in a preseason. And it was entertaining. Came down to the end for a chance to win it, and the Rams were able to pull it out. So there's a lot of storylines, a lot of things happening, a lot of good, some bad. But for coach, like he said, it's always a good chance to, get some of those guys on film and take a look at them, because when you're cutting down to 53, having a chance to look at those guys a little longer is always good.
Right, and getting back to the defense and the energy level, Bear, they really made a transition from the first game, because one thing that stuck out to me was the third down efficiency. I believe it was right before heading into halftime that I heard the announcer say that the Raiders had not yet completed a third down conversion. To wrap up the game, they were 1-for-10 for third down conversion. So that's an amazing stat to see that we wouldn't allow them to convert. And, I don't think we have much room to brag, though. We were 2-for-14 at third down conversions. But that was one aspect that I was really happy to see our defense accomplish. And then on the other side of the ball, or really everywhere, was penalties that we talked about last week. I'm happy to see that the Raiders lost about 100 yards due to penalties with 10 overall. We had half that amount. We had 5 penalties for a loss of 44 yards. So we sort of improved there. I still want to see some improvements. It's the preseason. Everybody's a little rusty and shaking off the dust a bit. But those are two aspects of the game that I was really happy to see was the third down efficiency and the penalties.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Cleaning up these things one thing at a time, especially as we get deeper into the preseason here, approaching the regular season, it's tough to really break some of this down because, again, no starters to play. McVay keeps teasing at it that he's going to let some guys play. And one thing I loved, he said that he wants to hear what the players have to say about starting or sitting, and he's going to listen to them. He said, and let me tell you, they want to play. So I'm thinking that, you know, hopefully we can get Todd Gurley in his ear a little bit, and Jared Goff wants to get some playing time and some live action. So I know with all the injuries that are going around, the New England Patriots just lost their first round pick, which happened to be the Rams' number 23 pick, in which we traded over to New England. Their player that they drafted tore his Achilles and will be out for the year. So you don't want to risk losing a guy, but at the same time, you want these guys that are very competitive people to go, you know, knock some of those cobwebs off and against another team and get out there and play. But before we move on from this game, I do want to do a quick little, maybe a couple guys that stood out for you, and then maybe a couple guys that you think need to do better, or else they're in trouble making this team. Do you have anybody for me?
All right, yeah, definitely have somebody for who stood out, because I'm going to mess this up. I think it's Kadarius Hodge, number 11. The past two preseason games, week one and week two, he's recorded 4 receptions for 71 yards. But what really stuck out to me were two things this game. One, obviously, the second quarter 47-yard reception in front of the Rams bench. That was awesome to see. He turned around, snagged the ball. It was a great pass for Manion, too. But he stepped it up, got up there, pulled the ball in. He was almost backpedaling at that point, was leaping backwards. And Manion, again, had the great ball over the Raiders corner, Nick Nelson. Hodge was able to pull that in. And it was exciting, dude. For preseason, I heard the crowd go wild. And I was going wild at home, and I was just rooting for this guy. And then I don't believe he made this catch, but it was at the end of the game. It was for a third down conversion with Brandon Allen. And he was just – he had cleared his space and was super quick and was wide open for the ball. And they should have converted. But, dude, this guy's stepping it up. And he's got quite the story behind him as far as getting to the NFL. And I'm really happy to see that, you know, Sean McVay's been a huge fan of him. And, you know, somebody from a really small town, I believe in Mississippi, was talking to receivers with a big smile on his face after the game, because we talk about being on the chopping block when it comes to, I think it's September 4th, 1 p.m. is the deadline. Everybody has to have their roster reduced to 53 players. Hodge is in a pretty solid position to have a chance to stay on this team. So he's somebody that stuck out to me as far as performance is concerned.
All right, James, we're going to step aside really quick. We're going to get a quick word from our sponsor in. We're going to be back on the other side. I'll tell you some guys I like, some guys that need to step it up. All right, and we're back. Locked On Rams Tuesday edition with James Kroger. We're recapping the Rams-Raiders game that was last Saturday. Rams came away with a win. It was very exciting. The Coliseum was actually filled, although, yes, with some Raider fans. But it was loud, got a good atmosphere in there, and we came away with the win, so can't be mad. We're kind of going through, breaking down some guys that we love, some guys that we didn't love so much. And I'm going to kind of pick up here and talk about a couple guys that did stand out for me. Joseph Nopum, the Rams' first pick in the 2018 draft. He continues to impress in the action that he's getting. In Saturday's game against the Raiders, he had 26 pass-blocking snaps and did not allow a single quarterback pressure. That's 41 nice. Combined pass-blocking snap without a quarterback pressure, and that's tied with one of the rookie for the most this preseason. So he's doing awesome when he's in there, and he's not allowing pressure on the quarterback, which is, you know, basically your number one job coming in there. So the nice thing about Nopum is not only has he given us depth at the tackle position, but they've moved around. I think I saw him out there playing right guard for a little bit. His flexibility should surely allow him to see some playing time this year, depending, especially with Brown's injury. He's slowly and surely becoming that fill-in spot there. So we'll see how that kind of continues. You mentioned Hodge had a great game. And then, obviously, John Kelly, man. We got to continue to give it up to him. He had a great rushing game. 18 carries for 56 yards, 3.1 average. He looked explosive at times, and he looked consistent. You know, he was out there making the plays. We didn't see him too much out of the backfield. He did have 2 catches for 4 yards, but that's another part of his game that will continue to be a threat. So, and he's got a bunch of carries. I think for him getting in there, the excitement that the fans have for him is really cool. You can tell that McVay likes to use him as much as he got the ball there. And then flipping to the other side of the ball, another guy that really impressed for me was Samson Ebukam. He continues his dominance in the preseason. Although he only rushed the passer on 11 of his pass snaps, he generated 4 quarterback pressures from that pass productivity. He is now 7th in quarterback pressures with 22 and 14th overall graded among edge defenders in Pro Football Focus so far in the preseason. So he's come out, and that was one of those question marks on the defense, and he's done a really good job on that. Another guy I loved was Bryce Hager. I think he had 4 tackles. He picked up one of those fumbles that you mentioned. He just seemed to be everywhere. If he wasn't making the play, he was in on the mix. And the one thing I love about this defense, you continue to hear all these new names. John Franklin Meyer had another really good game, had a sack, was in on some big plays, kind of helped create pressure for other people. And then Ramique Wilson, a guy you mentioned earlier, came over from Kansas City. We're excited to add his kind of, I guess in a sense, with that group, a little veteran leadership, even though he's only been in the league a handful of years as well. So I love that defense, man. I was trying to pick a star on defense, and I just kept circling a bunch of people. Now, switching this over and talking about people that we weren't impressed with, I'll lead it off. If you got anyone, feel free to chime in there, James. But I still think it has to go with Mannion. As much as it was a solid game for him, he managed everything he was supposed to do. We said it earlier. It was a very vanilla play calling. He went down the field just a few times, and the one was almost a Hail Mary that Hodge brought down. It was a great catch up there. So most of his yards came off that. There was a time at the end of the second quarter, right before half, and we had gotten the ball back inside their territory, and you're thinking, man, this would be a perfect way. We're up 10-0, score a touchdown, really solidify that position, and he played it safe. But they ran it twice, they threw it once, and one was like a little 3-yard out. But he did his job. You know, basically, McVay's telling him, protect the ball. We want the 3 points here. Don't do anything stupid. And as I'm sitting here yelling at him on TV to go downfield and grow some balls, he's doing exactly what he needs to do. So although I think he managed the game, you hear that a lot as a quarterback, it was a really boring game for him to have to manage. So unfortunately, I think he needs to continue to step it up, or else definitely some questions about, how's Austin Davis? He seemed okay, but Mannion just seems slow-mo in everything he does. And I think that's the one thing that kind of drives me crazy is, he seemed a little bit more comfortable this game, but just everything he does is just kind of slow motion. And you're just like, hurry up, dude. Like, show some urgency. Yeah. You're not feeling it in his play. But I did like he was a lot more comfortable back there, but definitely doesn't seem like, again, we're talking about worst case scenario here. If we're stuck on Goff's out for a couple weeks, I don't feel good about who our backup is to come in to move the offense forward. And another guy I got is Justin Davis, running back, didn't play. He was banged up. I can't hold it against him, but like I had a conversation going on Twitter, is in a tough running back group that you've got with the Rams with a bunch of talent, it's never good to have to sit out a game and basically be, now he's 18 snaps behind John Kelly as far as, going for that third string position. So one guy that I think, has some room for improvement, and hopefully that is due to health, is Justin Davis. So we just didn't get to see him. I love him when he's out there, but it's kind of one of those things, out of sight, out of mind type of thing. So hopefully we get him back, but I think not playing kind of hurt him on Saturday as well. And James, kick it over to you. You said you got somebody?
Yeah, so I guess on top of disappointing, some of these – I want you to mention, we should start talking about who's going to be on the chopping block here soon, because, again, we do have until the first day in September when we need to make these moves happen. But I think for the next few weeks on our podcast, Bear, we should definitely start talking about people who are on the chopping block, because there's quite a few. And there's two things that are of concern of me, and probably we should mention the chopping block here. But, I saw somebody go in towards the end of the game. I want to talk about the Hawley brothers. Nick Hawley is a running back. His brother is a DB, and they had some playing time this game. And you and I saw them at training camp putting in that extra time after practice, putting in that extra work with each other. But, Nick and the running back situation, you just mentioned Davis. He had 3 carries and had negative yards total, averaging negative 1.3. Not only that, he just didn't take advantage of opportunities. He was playing probably with the second, third team mix, but there was just really nothing out of him that's going to allow him to compete with the depth in this running back position on this Rams squad. You're not going to be on one of the top scoring offenses in the league. I'm sorry, but unfortunately, he is kind of a fan favorite. They both are kind of a fan favorite. I've seen them mentioned a few times on social media, but I don't really think that there's a future here with them for the Rams. Another thing, Bear, is I'm really concerned about this kind of secondary tight end situation, because we've been waiting for some of these guys to sort of step it up and see how we can, one, utilize and open up this offense in the tight end spot here. And who's going to really make this squad? Tamarik Hemingway, somebody I've been rooting for a couple of years now. He was 2 for 6. He had 2 receptions, I'm sorry, for 6 yards total. The pass blocking, you know, he was making it happen, but he's standing up straight. He's a big guy. He's huge. I think he's got great hands, but the pass blocking, he just kind of looked awkward out there. I'm a huge Tamarik Hemingway fan. I'm definitely rooting for him, but I'm a little concerned about, one, his playing time and the opportunities that he's getting. But of course, let's point the finger back at our quarterbacks. Sean Mannion, you're right. I mentioned in the beginning of the show, I was impressed to see him improve since game one, but he's still not acceptable for the backup quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams. So partially you can blame somebody like Mannion, who isn't really scanning the field with his eyes, so to speak. You know, that the could be some of the reasons that these tight ends aren't getting as much receptions as they potentially should be. And then this is more on the positive note, even though he only got one reception, Henry Krieger Coble had a huge pass. I believe it was from Brandon Allen towards the end of the game. And I was really impressed with his ability to get open and pull that pass down. But of course, you know, he is on the chopping block, I guess, for this depth chart. But he did impress with that catch, at least me. And I hope that he has an impact with the coaching side of the ball. But yeah, those are a few people I'm continuing to keep my eye on. And right now we're getting them lined up for a cut.
Yeah, I love it. You got room on Coach Kroger's team, man. If it's not work out for the Rams, Coach Kroger's putting together a rec team, then you're on the radar, son. Interesting to watch. I wanted to add one more point. You were talking about Nick and Nate Hawley. Nate Hawley, actually, from the safety position, had the number one overall grade as far as Pro Football Focus for that game on Saturday with a 90.5. He was all over the field making some plays, in on some tackles. Had a great score. Other guys that ranked out were Ibukun, who I mentioned earlier, Hatfield at the cornerback position. I think he allowed 2 catches, but gave up, I think it was like a -5 yards or something like that. So he jumped on him right away. And then Ethan Westbrook had a great game. And then Justin Lawler, man, that guy was coming up and stuffing the run, which for Rams defense that didn't stop the run last year, it was awesome to see those guys, Lawler and Kaiser. These guys are just tackling machines from, you know, the previous level. So excited to see some of that start to translate. And, you know, that linebacking core is where you can get some opportunity if you're a young guy. So, you know, hopefully we'll get Obese back. And that's actually something we're going to talk about next. When we get back after this quick word from our sponsor, we're going to talk some Rams injury updates. We're going to talk some extensions and a little bit more on what you can expect this week. All right, Rams Nation, we're back with James Kroger, the Tuesday edition of Locked On Rams. We just did our quick recap of the game on Saturday, this last Saturday versus the Raiders. A win is a win, and we're moving on. couple things. Thankfully, we didn't have too many injuries come out of that game. Some exciting news to talk about as we look at the roster and how things are shaking out. Dominic Easley has come off the PUP list and will be back at practice. Gotta love hearing that. This is a guy who tore his knee up in training camp last year and has been on the long road to recovery, a name that, you know, you kind of start to forget about a little bit as you got Sue and, you know, hopefully Aaron Donald coming back and Brockers up front. But Easley was a really key piece a couple years ago up on that front. Hopefully he'll help improve that rush defense that we just talked about not too long ago. Obese, Obo Okoronkwo, guy that we just mentioned on the other side of the break, in jeopardy for missing the beginning of the season. They're still a little vague on what's going to happen there, but they may extend him into the season, which would mean that he'd miss the first handful of games with the Rams. So we'll see how that happens. We haven't heard too much news or information about that. Gerald Everett, still don't have a solid word on when we can expect him. One thing that we did see on Saturday is Johnny Munt was back in and playing. We knew that he was carted off the field early in the week. We didn't have an update. All of a sudden, boom, I saw him out there making a catch. I was like, well, there goes that update. He's right there on the field. So excited to see him out there because it adds some depth at the tight end that we're in desperate need of, which again is crazy. You talked about Hemingway, who we're a big fan of, and we hope he can kind of fit into it, into his zone, you know, a couple games back, and he's looking to get back into, you know, mid-season form here soon. So hopefully we'll get him back, but there's definitely some opportunity at that tight end position right now. And then also a little story here, and we're going to actually go a little bit more into this on Rams podcast. We're going to record an episode right after this, so guys, make sure to check that out. It's Junior Gallette came to visit the Rams yesterday. A lot of things to talk about with him. I'm excited to get into that conversation over at Rams podcast with you, James, and really break that down to see if we think that is, you know, a good move, a bad move, and what that's about and what we're really getting with him. But all things and all signs point that he is looking to come to LA. He's always teasing Rams Nation on Twitter and Instagram that he's coming this way. So we'll see how that shakes out in the next couple of days. And like I said, we'll talk more about that on Rams podcast. So keep an eye out for when that drops, and we'll go a little bit deeper into that. And then, James, we had an extension today. Talk to me about that.
Well, first off there, with the extension, every time I get an update from the Rams or ESPN, my neck, I'm about to tweak my neck because I'm so ready for that AD deal to happen. But, yeah, I read on Twitter, extension in all caps.
Yeah,
and
right.
All, and deal, and you just get all excited. But, of course, I get the push notifications from the Rams. But, yes, we have signed Rob Havenstein to a four-year extension worth $32.5 million.
Cha-ching.
It's a solid move for the Rams, in my opinion. I've heard some feedback on social media. People haven't been happy in certain situations with him, but let's keep in mind we have to keep Goff and Gurley protected back there for the next four seasons. But he was originally a second round pick in the 2015 draft, and he has started each of his 43 games since he entered the league. Over the last 3 years, he's played 2,698 snaps at right tackle, and PFF rated him as a, quote, good starter with a 75.1 grade. That's 11th among right tackles with over 2,000 snaps. So he's up there. Everybody in Rams Nation seems to be pretty excited about this, and Coach McVay specifically was excited about the deal. He said that Havenstein's been a reliable member of our offensive line, and maintaining consistency among that unit is important as we continue to grow offensively. Congratulations to Rob and his family. So congrats. Everybody's jacked about that, but we're kind of, you know, as you tweeted earlier today, all waiting for this. I got 99 problems, but an offensive tackle ain't one. I love that tweet, by the way. there's some of the details on that.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, locking up another, I mean, he's a monster guy out there, and he was a big piece of what we did last year. He wasn't the most hyped up piece of that line, but he's definitely important to it. I think what you said, 3 years, was it 35 mil?
32.5.
And you know, you're looking
4 years.
Yeah, you're looking at what we're doing in the next couple of years. Obviously, how much does Witt have in the tank? How much does Sullivan have in the tank? Jamon Brown's coming up on a contract here. We just picked up, obviously, we've talked about Noteboom and Demby and Allen at the center position. So we've got three guys kind of waiting in the wings. So you still want to lock up some of that core. And I think, you know, doing that with Rob, I think, is a great thing. We didn't, you know, ridiculously pay. I know a lot of people are saying, well, you know, you can get talent like that in the draft in the third round. And yeah, but you're going back to the draft of hitting and missing. If you got a guy that fits into the system that, you know, really understands what McVay's doing and is doing great, sign him before someone else comes in and throws, you know, 4 years, you know, $45 million at him. And all of a sudden you got to play that, you know, betting game against the guy that you really like. So go sign him before anyone else has a chance. I'm good with that. And you talked about people that are happy. Roger Saffel was taped at practice saying, you know, he's going to take us to Mastro's tonight. Tomahawk steaks and butter cakes, baby. I loved it. So he's got some guys looking to get into the checkbook, I'm sure, like when everyone signs a deal. So everyone's happy for him. Seems like a fan favorite on the team. So excited to have him around. And, you know, if he keeps blocking like he did last year and creating holes and protecting Goff, then he's going to be just fine.
Just fine and dandy.
So that's all we got for today. Got another exciting week of Locked On Rams for you guys. Tomorrow we're going to have Vinny Bosinger on. He is a writer for The Athletic. He just signed with them not too long ago. You guys know him all over Twitter. Vinny's always dropping some awesome Rams updates. He reports for the team. So I'm curious to hear what he has to say about the signing, what he thinks about Junior Gallette, what he thinks about Aaron Donald. We'll pick his brain on all those happenings tomorrow, so make sure to tune into that. And got some other guests coming up this week, which I'll tell you about later in the week. James, thanks as always for coming on. I can't wait to jump over and do a quick Rams podcast with you. Guys, make sure to go check those out. Give all those a follow. Hit the subscribe button. Reach out. You know how to get a hold of us. With that said, you know what it is, Rams Nation. Until next time, peace.